How's that? Better? Okay. You might want me to turn it back to mute after about 5 minutes. That's all right. It's okay. Never miss an opportunity for a laugh, ever, ever. But anyway, at the funeral, what do you say about that? You say, well, if so-and-so could speak, he would say, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, not about me. And that's true. Even if a person would be lost in all eternity, it's in Luke's gospel, we could look it up. It's about a man who went to hell, and he knew that he wasn't getting out of hell. But what he did was tell Father Abraham, whom we could see at a distance, he says, send Lazarus back to my five brethren who are unsaved and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The people in hell are very gospel-minded, and there's a reason for that. Now, here's the thing. I want to give a gospel message this morning, mostly gospel. There's a lot in here for everyone. And it's actually one of my favorite parts of the scripture. It's in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 while you're turning there. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we're going to look at a man named Simon. Many Simons in the Bible, excuse me, and another person called Anna. In Luke's Gospel was written mainly to the Greeks. The Gospel of Mark was written to the Romans mostly. And the Gospel of Matthew was written mostly to the Jewish people. Three different ethnic backgrounds, and the Gospel, God actually inspired the people that wrote the Gospels to speak to these individuals. And so we are the beneficiaries of all of these things. The Gospel of John really is for everyone. In fact, all the Gospels are for everyone. But the Gospel is the good news. That's what the word Gospel means. It means good news. And it is good news. But first, there's bad news. Not everybody goes to heaven. It's too bad, but you don't go to heaven just by living and dying. You have to choose, and God gives us that ability to choose. In fact, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other places, you have to choose. And now, why is that? Why doesn't God just say, okay, everybody in? No. You know why? I'll just tell you why. I've said it maybe here before. Let me ask you a question. Everybody has relationships. Women like relationships better than men. Men are mostly uncomfortable with relationships. And one time I told my dad, as we were leaving, my children were small, my dad never said, I love you. Never. Wasn't that kind of guy. We're leaving with my wife and kids out the door. I was the last one to leave the door, and I said it. I said, Dad, we love you. He was taken aback. I was watching his face, and he says, oh, I think you're okay, too. And that's it. That's all. That's all there was to it. So men are uncomfortable about it, mostly. They'll never say it, but they do show it. But that doesn't answer the question, why doesn't everybody just go to heaven? God loves everybody. He really does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God said it. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that said that. So why don't you go to heaven? Let me ask you a question. I said it before. I ask it of a lot of people, saved and unsaved, and they all give me the same answer. Would you prefer that someone had to love you or chose to love you? Now, you know the answer to that question, just like I do. You want people to choose to love you. That's what you want. You don't want a bunch of robots programmed like a computer to say I love you and to act like I love you, but they don't really, if you did it, they didn't love you. They don't care. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. No man, no woman wants that. That's why people like dogs. Unconditional love. You feed them, you scratch behind the ears, they're your friend for life. And everybody loves that. That's why people like dogs, especially dogs like that that love you. And dogs are capable of a form of love, but you would prefer that that dog really chose to love you, even a dog. Well, God is the same way with people. That's why he gave us a free will. I'm not a Calvinist at all. I don't believe in Calvinism. Maybe some of you do. That's okay. That's fine. What you must believe on is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants you to choose to love him. For God makes the first move and says, I love you. God so loved the world, as the Lord Jesus said. And he expects you to respond to that. And there are people who will not respond in the way that God wants them to. And if they keep it up and they die, they'll die in their sins. And where they are is not a good place to be. The Lord Jesus Christ, one time in the four Gospels, spoke about a person who died in their sins and went to hell. The Lord Jesus did speak mostly about hell rather than heaven. Now, whether you're ready to be saved or not, God has to make you ready. I can't make you ready. The gospel, as I preach it, cannot make you ready. I can't talk you into anything, and neither can anyone else. Here's what you must do. You must wait on the Lord. If you died right now, where would you go? Ask yourself that question. And then you could say, why? Why would I go to this place? Whether it's heaven or hell. It's one or the other. Why would I go to this place? Ask yourself that question. Do you go to hell because you're a sinner? No. All the people in heaven are sinners, and all the people in hell are sinners. So what's the difference? What is the difference? If everybody in heaven is a sinner, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, but every human that's in heaven is a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what's the difference? It's what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. The only difference. That's the only difference. How are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise right from the lips and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go back in Luke's Gospel, the one we've all been waiting for. We're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's only in one place in the whole Bible. It's about a man named Simeon. Simeon was a wonderful man. Not much is said about him. But what we do know about him is that he loved God. Now, he never met the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when he meets the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby. Let's read it and let God speak for himself. We're going to go, for connection, we'll read verse 21 in Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, that's the Lord Jesus, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was a genuine human being, and he still is. He became something he never was before. God, eternal God, by whom the worlds were created. He was in heaven with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. They were all three of them spirits. Now, he took upon himself the form of a servant, flesh, because spirits do not bleed. And God has ordained in the sacrifices of the Old Testament that blood had to be shed. Why? Is God some kind of a vampire or bloodthirsty savage? No. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And atonement had to be made. There are some things that God will not do and cannot do. He cannot sin, for instance. The Bible teaches that. He cannot do anything wrong. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says he's holy. The Lord Jesus is holy. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet, he was made to be sin for us. Think of what it cost God the Father to send his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. The Lord Jesus was the active agent in creation. Read Colossians, the beginning of John's Gospel, the beginning of the Colossian Epistle, it's elsewhere. He made all things, and by him all things consist. As a spirit, he made all things. He was the active agent. They all did things together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the Lord Jesus was the main actor in creation, if I can put it that way. Well, for God so loved the world, is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? It's all three persons. But he's really referring mostly to God the Father. He sent his only begotten Son. The relationship was always there, even before the Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. The Son-Father relationship was always there. But what he did, the Lord Jesus Christ saw us in our need. When we sinned, in Adam's case, and it passed down from all of us, you don't have to teach a baby how to be bad. I love kids, but I'll tell you, you have to correct them, and you have to raise them upright, and you have to sometimes even punish them. You don't have to teach them how to be bad. They know that, how to be bad. They don't even know how to behave. You have to teach them. You have to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, and so on in the Bible. So what happened? God promised Simeon. Well, let's read it. Let's read what it says. I'm on verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, that's the Lord Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now that capital L, small o, small r, small d, that's Adonai. If it was all capitals, capital L, big O, big R, big D, that's Yahweh. The Lord Jesus is Yahweh. In the Old Testament, and so on. He's Lord of all. He's also Adonai. So here it is here, he presenting him to the Lord in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. What does that mean? Holy means set apart for God. That's all it means in this case here. It was holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is really the holiest of all holies. He's holy. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's a poor person's sacrifice. And behold, in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It's interesting, because this is still, it's in the New Testament, but it's still the Old Testament. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon people. John the Baptizer was the last of the Old Testament prophets. The Holy Spirit came upon him and came upon Simeon. He's not indwelt like we are today after Pentecost. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the third person. Some people hate it when I say third person of the Trinity. They say, he's not third. Well, no, I'm not doing that. It's not a question of priority. It's the number three. Person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, now indwells us. Once a person is saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what it says here, and Simeon and devout waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon was, you might say, Old Testament, but he looked forward. The people in the Old Testament could be saved, but they looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. And we look backward. The Lord Jesus Christ died once and for all at Calvary. We look backward. They looked forward. Well, get this. Simeon, even though he was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he was in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. He was in the right place at the right time. Think about it. The right place. How did he know where to be? He knew that God said, you're going to see the Messiah. You're going to see the Christ. You're going to have that privilege. How did Simeon get to have that privilege? Simeon was an old man by then. He was walking with God. He had been saved. And he was in such close contact with God that God, by the Holy Spirit, honors that. Now, is God honoring me? I think he has in so many ways. Why? Why would God honor me? Listen, I'll tell you, if I told you what I was really like, you wouldn't be listening to me. You'd be running out the door. And I'd be the same way with you. Each one of us is unworthy. Really, really, really unworthy. You would not like your sins, even though there's some cases your sins are forgiven. But how about the sins you did yesterday? You wouldn't want them where that verse is. You wouldn't want that. Neither would I. Why? Because we're sinners and have a sense enough to be ashamed of our sins. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't publicize our sins. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to cause you any more pain than is necessary. Well, sometimes it's necessary. I had a dentist one time. I'll never forget Dr. Walcott. He's long gone. But he was a compassionate man. But one time it was near Easter, and he had the drill in his hand, and I didn't take Novocaine. He wanted to give it to me. I was afraid of needles. And he said, Mike, which is more important, Easter or Christmas? I said, oh, well, Christmas. I brightened right up. He says, no, no, Mike, no, 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 not. Easter is more important. No, it's not. I say, I get all my toys on Christmas. Easter eggs, I could care less. He said, no. He says, Christmas, Jesus proved that he was a man. Easter, he proved that he's God. He rose from the dead. I was stupefied. I didn't need Novocaine. He went right in there with that drill, and he said, I hope I'm not going to hurt you. I said, I hope not either. And he went ahead and filled my tooth. But I forgot about the drill, and I remember that. That's how I can tell you about it. I was a little kid. It's true. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. I'd like to go to a saloon and see a bunch of drunks barfing all over the floor. I had a paper route one time. I had to go in on Saturday morning and get my money. And my mother said, good. I told her about it. She said, good. How'd you like it? I didn't like it. There were people vomiting all over the floor. And there were people still on the floor. They were passed out. And she says, good. Remember that. No, I don't drink. And that was long before I was saved. Well, that's the thing. God with us. Think what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to come down from heaven's glory to come here to be born in a stable, laid in a manger. And things went downhill from there. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Have you honored God? How do you honor God? First of all, you believe God. God puts a big store on belief and faith, you know. How are you saved? Through faith. Faith is the hope of things not seen. Not one of us here has actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so a lot of people will tell you, he says, show me and I'll believe. You know what God says? He says, believe and I'll show you. I've been saved over 50 years. 1968, I was saved. And the thing is, he has shown me so many things. I'm tempted to believe that everybody must know these things because I'm trying to live these things and it's part of my life. It is my life. And I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, how did I ever get to be 21 years old? Do the math. 21 years old and not get saved until I was 21. All right, I'll do the math. I'm going to be 75 in August. But here's the thing. I've never regretted coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Not once. Not once. In fact, I'm wondering how he puts up with me. He loves me more. Do you know that in any relationship, I can fairly say this pretty sure, that in any two people, at different times, maybe husband and wife or brother and sister, whatever, doesn't matter, one always seems to love more than the other one does. Maybe it's just different ways of showing it to each other. But at any given time, one loves more than the other one does. Maybe tomorrow the other one will love more than this one does. The thing is, but God loves you more now than you'll ever love him. How do we know? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, you got to understand that the love that God had is higher and greater in quantity, quality, and every other way than any love that we could ever experience until you get saved. Then you have agape love, which means God's love. It's a Greek word. It's God's love. There's many kinds of love. But there's God's love toward us. There's no higher love than that. And here's what you do. You trust. You don't get depressed. I know a lot of people do. I used to get depressed. I had a lot to be depressed about. That's all right. What you do is you keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. If you're not saved, you have a good reason to be depressed and almost despondent. In fact, before you get saved and you realize you're lost, it is absolutely the worst feeling you'll ever have. Worse than any other kind of grief. But don't stay that way. When you find out that you're lost, this is how you, unless you find out you're lost, you'll never get saved. Once you find out that you're lost, then you're ready to be saved. And here's what you find out. You find out that you're lost, but the gospel has never changed. For God so loved the world, there's nothing stronger than God's love for you as an individual. Nothing stronger than that. No love stronger than that. That's God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look at Simeon. Look at what he did here now. This is an act of a Christian who had never seen Christ, and then he finally meets the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant. This is before the cross. And it says here, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, unto Simeon, that he should not see death. Even if he had died, he would have gone to heaven. He would have been with the Lord. But no, God honored him. If you honor God, God will honor you. How do you honor God? What's the best way to honor God? The first way is the best way. And you just keep on doing it. You believe God. believe what he said. If I called you a liar, or you called me a liar, that's an insult. Right? That's an insult. It means that you are not a good person, and I'm not a good person, and it's an insult to be called a liar, or other words that people have come up with, denoting someone who never tells the truth. Have you ever known a pathological liar? I have. I didn't trust that woman. I know that. And I see her lips moving, and I said, she's lying again. I don't believe anything she says because she's a liar. She can't tell the truth. Well, that's an insult. It's dishonorable to be that way. Well, do you believe God when God says you're a sinner? You know you are. Don't tell me you're not. God says it, and I don't even know most of you people, and I know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. The thing is, God knows you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and he did something about it. There's one way, narrow way, God says it, Jesus said it, narrow way, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. Acknowledge the fact, own up to it, do the one honest thing. Are you ready to meet God? Like I told you, you wouldn't want your sins up on a billboard. Well, God already knows them. He doesn't need a billboard. He knows our hearts, he knows our evil, unspeakably evil. You know what the difference between bad and evil is? A bad man does bad things. An evil person destroys good. And we're all that way. We're all evil. God says so. Now, what do you do with that? You quit. When I was a kid, I'll go back to my childhood. Maybe I'm still in it. When I was the littlest kid in the neighborhood, and people would get you, they would wrestle, and they'd pin you down, and they put their knees on my shoulders, and they look at me, and they'd say, "Do you give up?" And I always said, "Of course." What, am I stupid? Of course I give up. They're always trying to put you down and put themselves up. Well, when you finally give up and you tell God, you say, "Look, I'm sorry for my sins and I can't stop. I just can't stop it. It feels good, tastes good, whatever it is. I just can't." God says, "I know that, but I'll save you. If you want, you're going to have to repent." That means turn away from you. Be willing to turn away. You can't turn away unless God helps you turn away. Especially like sex sins or anything like that. We don't have any little kids here. I can use the word. Sex sins are the hardest thing. And drug sins are the hardest thing. And so many other things are hard things to do to repent from. Well, with God's help, you can. And with God's help, you will. And what you have to do, though, is tell God that you're willing to do that. Cast yourself completely at his feet. Remember the leper who came back and thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for curing him? Out of the 10, there were 10, and he's the only one that came back, and he was a Samaritan. He came back, and he thanked God for cleansing him. We all need to be cleansed. We all do. Different people have different sins, and they're addicted to this or addicted to that, whatever. You can be addicted to a behavior. So here's the thing. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Simeon, look what God did to honor him. And what did Simeon say in verse 27? Later on. Now, let's go to verse 28. "And then he took him up," took the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. He picked him up. He's a baby, 8 days old. He picked the baby up in his arms and just looked at him. And you know what he said? He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." It's according to God's word, everything. It's according to God's word. You're here because of God's word. God declared your path to come and hear the gospel or go anywhere. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, but also the unrighteous, too, if you're not saved yet. You've got to know that you're lost before you can get saved. Now, I'm going to close. It's warm. I'm probably warmer than you are, but it's warm. And for the sake of the gospel and attendance and Christian charity, I'm going to stop talking. And I'll close in prayer. If you honor God, God will honor you. That's a promise. God says he'll do it, and you take him at his word, just like Simeon did. He knew, and he was willing to leave this life because God honored the promise that he made to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would actually see the Lord's Christ. Now, here's the thing. You're going to see the Lord's Christ too. Oh, yes, you are, even if you die in your sins. You will. There's a great white throne judgment coming, and I won't get into that, but the one who sits on it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, in fact, the Lord Jesus said it, all judgment is committed unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Father, his precious blood, unspeakably precious to us, but thou hast declared it, precious blood, saving precious souls. But Father, we have to want to be washed. We want to be cleansed. Even those of us saved many years need to be cleansed daily. Help us, Father, by the washing of regeneration for those that are not saved, but also, Father, the cleansing blood cleanses us who are saved and who need cleansing day by day. Help us, Father, to do what we need to do, to avail ourselves of that precious blood. For we ask it in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.